just want to please the Lord. Amen. Because I can give you one quick suggestion how some of you could please the Lord, and that's go to Sunday school. It's kind of hard for me to sit there and watch you sing when you didn't even love him enough to come to Sunday school. Wow. Boy, I killed it dead early on a Sunday morning, didn't I? Maybe you've graduated from Sunday school, but the rest of us, we're still trying to get somewhere in God. Amen. And I believe Sunday school is the backbone of our doctrine, learning about God's word. And if you're that spiritual, we certainly need you. If you don't need to be there, then maybe you just need to be there to show us the light. And so either way, whether you need to be there for instruction or just to be a light in a dark place, Sunday school, 10 o'clock every Sunday morning till Jesus comes. But I promise you, if you mean I just want to please the Lord, that's a quick way right there. In the book of Acts, chapter number 16, verse number 25, an unusual text for a Sunday morning, but this is really what I felt the Lord deal with me about. Maybe it's because I had a lot of extra time this morning. Did everybody have a lot of extra time this morning? Amen. I thought I knew what I was going to be preaching all week long, but just sitting there waiting for the minutes to tick by this morning, seemed like my heart jumped over into this passage of Scripture, this unusual event. And I just pray the Lord will help us. Verse number 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. You can be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. I've only got a few points, and I just want to share them with you. But this is an unusual story, and I want to use that word several different times, at least six times. I believe there's some unusual things out of this story. First of all, this is an unusual place that a miracle of God is going to take place. Would you agree with that? This is an unusual place that a move of God is going to transpire. Notice that our location is a prison. I mean, we can understand having a move of God in a sanctuary. We could probably even understand having a move of God on top of a mountain, knowing that there's been great meetings on the mountains with God throughout history. But finding ourselves thrust into an inner prison where our disciples are shackled with their feet to the floor, and knowing that this is going to be the backdrop of a story that we're still going to be preaching about 21 centuries later, friend, it's nothing more than unusual. And I don't know what your situation is this morning. I don't know what you're contending with, what you are up against. But I know this, that I'd love to see God just sweep this house this morning with his presence and his glory. Amen. On this Sunday morning, I'd love God just to send a glory wave from another world. Amen. Just to re-energize, just to stir us, to shake us. Amen. To prepare our hearts for revival. Amen. Just to show us that he's still God. Amen. I believe we're serving the true and the living God this morning, aren't you? And if they're going to have a move of God in a prison house, how much more should me and you be ready, amen, to feel after God and expect something from God in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Did you really come expecting something from the Lord? Amen. Can you look toward heaven and know that God is still able? Amen. Knowing that God wants to move in the hearts of his people. Maybe you feel feel like you're in prison even this morning, friend. Maybe it's not a physical prison, but maybe you feel like you're in some kind of a financial prison or emotional prison or spiritual prison or relational prison. I got news for you. God still likes to break people out of prison and set you free by the power and the glory of God. Amen. For the Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Get ready, friend. We're in a prison, but we're ready for a move of God. Amen. I'd love to throw my hand toward heaven today and say, God, we need a move of God. More than we need another sermon, we need a move of God. Amen. More than 3 points in a poem and another song. Amen. God, give us another move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was an unusual place. Now, number two, it was an unusual time. I mean, it's hard to expect a move of God on Sunday morning. I understand that. But friend, the Bible said at midnight, what an unusual time for a move of God. But sometimes that's the way that God wants to upset the apple cart. Amen. All to let us know that God keeps watch 24/7. And if at midnight in an inner prison cell, some disciples can throw their head back and expect a move of God, what about me and you? Amen. That had a good night's sleep, even an extra hour's sleep, that we're able to be in the house of God this morning, knowing the God that we serve is alive and well, with all power in heaven and in earth. I say, get ready, friend. Amen. God could do it again. Amen, friend. I'm asking God. I'm telling you, go, God. Amen. We need a move. We need a stirring. We need a shaking of the presence and the power of God. Amen. Complacency and lukewarmness is everywhere around. But in the middle of all that, God, would you just stir us? Would you just shake us? Amen. God, would you send the four winds of heaven and just energize my soul? Amen. It was an unusual time at the darkest hour of the night, at midnight, in the middle of the night, when all hope seems to be gone, when all answers have been given, when all resources have been expended, at midnight. You ever been there, friend? You felt like you were all alone at midnight? Maybe you even feel you're that way today. It's just a dark day in your life, and you feel like Paul and Silas, they've thrown you to the innermost prison cell, into some kind of constrained, in some kind of small kept cell. Your feet are fastened to the floor. It's midnight, but oh, how many knows that God is still awake even at midnight? Amen. When Jacob looked yonder, amen, those wagons were rolling up from Egypt with Joseph, and the Bible said the wagons were rolling at midnight. Amen. Jesus come walking on the fourth watch of the night, in the middle of the night. My God was still alive. I got news for you, friend. I didn't ask the devil permission today to preach. I didn't check with your circumstances. I didn't consult the calendar. Amen. I looked to heaven and said, God, amen, I don't know what they're facing. I don't know what the devil's told them, but there is a heart cry from the very deepest part of my soul that we need an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sin-killing, devil-chasing, true blue, red-hot
out. Move of the Holy Ghost where the young people get in, where the families are stirred, where grandma and grandpa still get in. Oh, friend, it may be at prison, but God, it'll be all right. It may be at midnight, but God, that's all right. But here's what God spoke to me. There was an unusual unity. Paul and Silas were still together. You know, sometimes when you go through trouble, you want to play the blame game. Oh, yeah, Paul and Silas, they could have begun to blame each other. Or Silas could have blamed Paul. Why'd you bring me on this trip for anyway? Timothy ought to be in my place. Timothy's your favorite anyway. But Paul and Silas, there was an unusual unity that they were not separated by adversity. They were not separated by trouble and sorrow. It kind of sounds like over in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1 when your Bible said that they were in one place and they were in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I come to preach to you this morning, friend, that if the church of Jesus Christ would get together and stay together amidst sorrow, stay together amidst adversity, stay together amidst persecution, your Bible records that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Joe Blow may not be interested. Sally may not want it. But God, I've got my hands up. I need your power. I need your spirit. I need the rain of the Holy Ghost. I need the angels of God. I need the wind of the Spirit of God. And the Bible said they prayed. Now, I know we like to have worship and praise, but they prayed. There's an unusual strength. Notice there's a comma after that word praying, so the Holy Ghost told us just to stay right here for a second. Paul and Silas go through everything, and most of the time I've preached this, they went through everything, but at midnight they began to sing and shout, and they sang praises unto God, but that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that at midnight Paul and Silas prayed. There's a difference between prayer and praise. A lot of times we want to come straight from out there right into praise, right into worship, but sometimes you're not ready for praise and worship, are you? They were tired, they were bloody, they were bruised, they were broken, they were beaten. They were thrown. The Bible said, Brother Wilder, they were thrust into the inner prison. The Greek word has the idea they were abused, many stripes. So they just didn't go skipping into the middle of the prison. Woo, glory to God. Thank you for the trouble, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Now they threw them in there and they slammed that door shut. And there they laid. The Bible said they prayed. I'm glad we can pray. I'm glad we can pray at midnight. You ever been there when it was midnight and you needed to pray? Sister Purefoy needed to pray the other day. It was midnight in her life. Losing her brother was a tough week for her. At midnight, we can pray. You get that bad doctor's report, we can pray. Children aren't doing like they're supposed to do. Lose a job, we can pray. We can pray. We can pray. We say, I see four walls. I'm in a prison cell. I know, friend, but we can. We can pray. And while they began to pray, there was an unusual strength that began to stir in their heart, that begins to stir down in their soul. I mean, maybe they're praying to live through the night. Maybe they're praying for the salvation of the Philippian jailer. Maybe they're praying for Lydia that has been converted, that church will be established at Philippi. But they began to pray. And notice that is not a period, friend. That is not the end of a sentence. But when you begin to pray to God, most of the time we come to God God, and we're praying about what we've just went through. But prayer is not about just what we've went through, but it's about what God is getting ready to do. It's about where God is wanting to take us. Amen. Quit praying about what has happened. Quit praying about yesterday and what is over. Amen. That comma says there is more to come. There is more to this sentence. God's not done yet. And while they're praying, hope begins to burst in their soul. Fire sets on in the recesses of their soul. And something happens in their heart. And instead of laying over and going to sleep, Paul looked at Silas and said, I feel something burning. I feel something stirring. It's time to have a celebration. It's time to worship our God. Amen. God, give me some people that can pray out of trouble into praise, that can go past the comma, that can go through what you've been through and say, God's not done. God's got another chapter. God's not finished with me. I'll preach again. I'll sing again. I'll shout again. I said, the devil is a liar. He'd love for you to throw in your towel and quit. I say, take authority over the devil this morning. Lift your hands toward heaven and say, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. You're worthy. You're holy. You're matchless. I exalt your name. I worship your name. I magnify you. Let everything that had breath, let it praise the Lord. It was an unusual worship. Where's the last place you expect worship? In prison at midnight with bloodied, broken, bruised, beaten disciples of Jesus. Woo! But they began to praise him so loud. The Bible said, the other prisoners heard them. I don't want to get real controversial here, but I know that may be a sign of worship to God. I understand. And maybe that's your personality. But it wasn't cutting it for Paul and Silas at that moment. Everything they'd been through up to that point, everything they had faced, preaching the whole counsel of God, as that blood began to dry, and their backs had been whipped and tortured, and that flesh was laid open, they didn't just stand there. Maybe that's deep reverence for you, friend, but I've been to that place where it just got to get out of there, where it rolls from deep down in my heart, where I want to say with David, oh, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and all that is within me. I know what Isaiah said when he said, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and they began to worship God. What's that? Praise coming from the cell. It's amazing. They had more praise coming out of a little dingy dark cell at midnight than we can get on a Sunday morning with 200 blood washed, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled children of God on a Sunday morning. Shame on us. I said, shame on us. If you're saved, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you may feel like you're in prison. You may feel like you're beaten down. You may feel like you're bound. I tell you, friend, what you ought to do is lift up your hand and worship Jesus. What you ought to do is thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, that you rescued me. I'm going to praise you anyway. And then when you begin to praise him, do you think the earthquake was God trying to get them out? Or was the earthquake God trying to get in? I've preached that God had to, but really, he didn't need to have an earthquake to get in there. Something starts shaking. The doors are shaking, that's great. The bonds are shaking, that's great. But the foundation, the whole root of the problem,
It's really what I felt the Lord tell me this morning. Amen. I'm not preaching just so the little door will shake. I'm not trying to get you through the day. I'm not trying to get you here Wednesday night. I'm talking to you about a deliverance that just rearranges your life. I'm talking about a God that can deliver you. That the problem that is besetting you, you'll never have that problem again. I'm telling you, the very foundation of the thing that keeps setting you back, with the power of God this morning, it can shake. I said it can shake. We're not serving a God of bondage. He's a God of liberty. We're not serving a God that gives us half-hearted blessings, but we're serving a God that liberates the children of men. And I prayed, God, Brother Mike, give us such a move of God. The Bible said that every door was opened, every band was broken. I knew there'd be some standing this morning, but I said, God, give us such a move of God that everybody in the house, everybody in the house, what kind of service would it be if everybody in the house, if every door was open, if every band was broken, if every foundation shook, what kind of service would it be? Unusual. Oh, I know. Unusual, I know. Unusual place, I know. What would happen if Otis Morgan started running around this building? I'd say that's unusual. That's rather out of the ordinary. What if Brother Greg Miles grabbed this microphone and went to preaching under the anointing of God? His mom would pass out, and I'd say, that's pretty out of the ordinary. Friend, I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we serve over and over and over again. He doesn't do cookie cutters. He doesn't do encores. He doesn't do it the same way. He does not want a stagnated church. He does not want a lukewarm church. He wants you and I that when we come into his presence, we come with worship, we come with reverence, we come expecting the Almighty of the ages to save the lost and heal the sick. I hadn't got through to half of you this morning. What would happen right now if you'd raise your expectation 25%. What would happen? What would happen if you raised your expectation 50%? Woo! What kind of service would it be? You see, most of the time, come on, church, let's worship God, and we're praising him with rattles on. Come on, church, praise the Lord. And we're praising him while we're still in prison. I just come to find somebody that might be a little tired of that this morning. I just come to find somebody that might be a little tired of that tiny little prison the devil's got you boxed into. I just come to find maybe one or two that you're tired of sitting there and he's got your feet fastened to the floor. That you've heard the clanging of the lock as the jailkeeper walked away. And you've heard the haunts and the hisses of Satan saying, you're not going to shout anymore. You're just born to be depressed. You're just going to live that way the rest of your life. I've got you right where I want you. Now I'm going to take your children. I just come to find somebody that maybe you're tired of living in that prison cell and you're ready to roll over and begin to pray to God. And then while you're praying, something stirs inside of you. Some fire lights upon the altar of your soul, and there's a hallelujah, and then there's a glory to God, and then there's a thank you, Jesus. And then there's, I'm going to keep worshiping up anyway. I'm going to praise him a little bit longer. Amen. Then all of a sudden you can hear in the distant background, it sounds like there's something beginning to rumble. It sounds like something's beginning to vibrate. Something's beginning to convulse. It's getting closer and closer and closer. And the more you realize it's not your neighbor or your brother, it's not on the other side of the sanctuary, but the prison cell that you are in, it is now reverberating by the presence and the power of God. And you know very good and well on this Sunday morning that God has set it up, that you can have a jailbreak, that God can bring you out, that God can deliver you right now if you'll just praise his name for a little bit. Amen. I feel dispatched of the Holy Ghost here this morning. Amen. I know revival starts the 12th, but God, this morning, I feel that reviving spirit of the Holy Ghost. I feel the energizing power of the third member of the Godhead as he stepped into this sanctuary and said, your troubles are my troubles. Your heartaches are my heartaches. If you praise me, if you worship me, if you'll honor me, if you'll glorify me, where two or three are gathered in his name, he promised to be in the midst. Why don't you put the devil on the alert? Why don't you put hell on the alert? I'm coming out. I'm coming out. It's jailbreak time. I'm coming out. I'm going to dance again. I'm going to shout again. I'm going to worship his wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. 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 God knows my heart right now. I can't convey, I cannot convey this burden, friend. But I didn't come just to bless you. I didn't come just to stir you. As God is my witness, I come on assignment this morning to tell you God will shake that foundation. I feel we're serving a God strong enough, a God that's alive enough that he doesn't want his people bound. He doesn't want his people depressed. He didn't want his people mired in complacency. But our God is alive and well. I said, and suddenly, that's what the Bible said. And suddenly, there was an earthquake. God doesn't take 6 weeks. God doesn't take 2 months. I'm telling I'm going on record this morning that if you'll give God room, suddenly he can bring you out. Suddenly he can set you free. Suddenly he can heal your body. Suddenly, I said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Would you just lift your hands toward heaven right now? Let's wait right now in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's wait right now. Right now, right now. God's speaking to us. I believe this. Oh, I know it's an unusual place. I know it's an unusual time. I know it's an unusual worship. God's going to do an unusual thing. He's going to send an earthquake. It's unusual, I know. While we're waiting on the presence of the Lord right now. This Sunday morning, God's wanting to do something unusual for you. I'm telling you, while there's some saints with their hands lifted in the air, and there's some worshiping God right where they're at, I'd love to see some of you kick that prison door right open. Woo! Hallelujah. You know what I felt the Holy Ghost did about 15 minutes ago? He stopped by your prison cell and he unlocked the door. He's just waiting on you to come walking out. It's already unlocked. He's already got it figured out. He's already got it worked out. He just needs you to get up and walk out. He just needs you to step out. He just needs you to get tired of living where you're living and said, God's got more than this for me. And on this Sunday morning, while the saints of God are rejoicing and this altar's open, amen, I'm telling you, friend, let's worship God over this building. Amen, let's lift our hands toward heaven and worship God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The God of heaven and earth is in this place. The God that sends earthquakes, the God that opens prison doors, the God that breaks prison bands is in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Church, keep worshiping the Lord. Keep worshiping God. There's prison doors coming open. There's bands that are being broken. Oh, would you just keep worshiping the name of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. From this day forward, it's going to be different. From this day forward, it's going to be different. From this day forward, it's going to be different. From this day forward, from this day forward. I said he's shaking the foundation. He's shaking the foundation of the problem. He's destroying the root of the issue. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory be to the name of the Lord.
He will do it.
Hallelujah, church.